The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Joined in the studio now by a young lady called Alex Russell. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You have aspirations of Commonwealth Games. Who knows, maybe Olympic Games, maybe World Championships, all these types of things, because you are an athlete. You're into the world of athletics.
Yes, I am indeed.
You are a triple jumper.
Yeah.
You haven't always been a triple jumper, though.
No, I was a long jumper.
Come on, tell me about this process, right? First of all, take me right back. Take me right back to when you're a young whippersnapper, knee-high to a grasshopper, and you start thinking to yourself, what am I going to do? Is it going to be netball? Is it going to be hockey? And then you end up getting into these sports. Tell me how this process happens.
Yeah, well, basically, when I was young, I used to do gymnastics from, like, the age of five, so I've always been into, like...
You're a sporty kid. You've always been a sporty kid.
Yeah, right. Definitely. So I got a bit bored of that by the age of 13. So kind of moved on to the track next to the gym club.
Right.
So then, yeah, I started doing running and jumping. And then I just suddenly became a jumper because I seemed to be pretty good at it, beating everyone. So you kind of get a first for, you know, trying to be the best, to be honest with you. I've always wanted to be number one in everything I was doing as a kid.
Competitive. You've got the competitive edge,
definitely,
mate.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. So... Long jump, it was initially.
Yeah.
And you did quite well at that. But then what prompted the change to go to triple jump?
I was just running a few injuries. My ankle was pretty bad going into long jump and the takeoff. So I thought, give it a bit of a whirl, give triple jump a little go alongside my long jump.
So how would that change then? If it was hurting your takeoff in long jump, because I'm a novice, I don't know. So
yeah,
how what's the difference?
It's literally a margin of angles basically at the takeoff board. So long jump, when you hit the board, you go in trying to go up as well as across, whereas triple jump's more across the board, whereas you don't want to go too high, otherwise you'll collapse in a heap.
Right.
Yeah, so it's only literally a margin of angles, but that margin of angle in your ankle's a big deal, pretty much. So I used to always have to wear orthotics and stuff like that to jump in. Doing triple jump, I'm good to go just normal now, yeah.
Okay. Now, you mentioned injuries there.
Yeah.
I don't want to relive last year.
Yeah.
Because last year wasn't necessarily the greatest when it comes to competition for you because of injuries.
Yeah.
Talk me through these, man, because you've had a few.
Yeah, I've done my hamstring twice now. Last year I did the hamstring tendon, so that was a pretty rough getting back. I was lucky not to have to get it, you know...
Stitched back together
yeah. Pretty much. Got an MRI and it was pretty close to it, but I was quite lucky in the fact that.
And did you do that? Did you do that through competition?
Yeah, it was that competition. It was quite embarrassing, really.
That must be a nightmare. Like,
yeah.
You've trained, obviously, you're in competition, and then off you go, and then pop.
Yeah,
hamstring
really,
goes.
Yeah, really frustrating because I'd done like a big no jump in the first round, and I was like, right, this is it. This is going to be my kind of breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ran down the runway, slammed into the board, and then just
pop,
bam. So it was like quite a big competition as well. So there was quite a lot of people there.
And the emotional aspects of that and the psychological aspects of that, that must take its toll on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You train, you want to qualify, you want to do X, Y and Z in the competition.
Yeah.
But then your body fails you at that moment.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not really like an emotional person. Well, I am, but not when people are around. But that day I just literally lay on the floor and just cried in front of everyone just because obviously it's a big deal. You put effort into... You know, it's your life when you're training for a sport like this. So it was just one of them emotional times. And it's just kind of, for me, I'm not getting any younger. So I want to kind of take all the chances I can get, really. So that was kind of...
Do you remember? I mean, you're a bit younger than me. You're 10 years young. Well, more than 10 years younger than me. Do you remember... I can't remember what Olympic Games it was, but Derek Redmond, a runner, who pulled his hamstring, I think, in 400 metres, and his dad came on and gave him a little bit of a lift as they were going round and all that. Highly emotional. He's in tears, dad's in tears, the world's in tears.
Yeah.
But like you said, you've just mentioned that you've trained for such an event.
Yeah.
You put your life and soul in it for a period of time to achieve whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm being told in my ears that it's 92 Barcelona is what it was. So you were really small. I were a little bit older. But you put your life and soul into it, and then... You can't legislate for injury. It chooses you when it's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it's just one of the things. Like now, I know I've got a weakness in my hamstring. I don't anymore. That's one thing I work on all the time. Make sure I've got it in every session when working that hamstring.
Well, I was going to ask, how do you compensate for that?
There's a lot of like exercises that you can do
specific to hamstrings, for
example. Yeah, yeah. So
okay.
You just work. I do a lot more. Don't know whether you know anything in the gym. I do a lot more like eccentric work.
Do I look like I go to the gym? Yes, I do, but not to the extent that you do, my dear.
But,
go on.
Yeah, I do a lot more like eccentric work on the hamstrings, so loading it a lot more. than I would normally, to be honest. So
right, okay. So that was what you've obviously, you mentioned the ankle.
Yeah.
You had the hamstring situation. How long did the hamstring keep you out for?
About 2 months, when I could just start jumping off like a couple of strides.
Okay.
I could do bits in the gym. Like, I was constantly pushing myself to the point of before it was going to go again, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You're one of them. Like, I don't know if you caught the, we had a couple of boxer lads in, earlier on, and one of them I know quite well, Tony Dodson. He's injured at the moment. He snaps his Achilles, but he's one of them that don't listen to the doctor.
Yeah.
He is now as he's getting a little bit older, but yeah, traditionally in his career, through injuries, hand injuries, leg injuries, whatever, doctors said, listen, you need to rest. You need to let your body do its thing.
Yeah.
But he's an athlete. He wants to get back out there and compete. Did you find that quite difficult?
Yeah. For me, I was quite lucky in a way that my physio said, right, if you do something and it doesn't hurt the next day, you can carry on doing it. So
that's fair enough.
So I tested it every day. I was 2 days after the injury, couldn't walk, hobbled into the gym, and I just did upper body work. I can't not be away from the gym or training. Like, I love it. I love training and I love the outcomes it brings. So I couldn't stay away. And it was just, hopefully, kind of keeping the body running. I mean, the blood running around your body. It's kind of helped heal the injury. Cause sometimes
you all right, you tell yourself.
Sometimes
that.
You sit around, if you sit around sometimes and, you know, the blood's not getting to the injury, so it doesn't heal. So I reckon, you know, the more you do, the quicker
Dr.
it heals.
Alex, she's curing it. Listen, yeah, I need to do more running, that'll fix it. Yeah. There you go. Whereas your doctor might say to you, or your coach might say to you, listen, Al, you need to rest, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
My coach has to tell me sometimes to take a couple of days off just to kind of let the body settle, because I go OTT sometimes, for sure.
That's a good thing, though, because that proves motivation, that proves determination, desire. You can't teach those things to an athlete. You've got to have those things, and you've obviously got them.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's a lot easier to calm them down and say, you're banned. I'm taking your keys from the gym off you. You're not allowed in here.
Yeah, yeah,
we'll
definitely.
We'll see you in a short period of time.
Yeah.
So those injuries now are all footloose and fancy-free because you've started 2017 quite well.
Yes, definitely.
I say quite well. Come on, let's talk about the start of 2017, because you're now starting to win competitions once again, my dear.
Yes.
Tell me what happened a couple of weeks back.
I won the British Indoor Championships for triple jump, so that was quite exciting, to be honest.
I like the way that you've just played that down quite modest. Yeah, that was quite exciting. That's quite a big deal, you know what I mean? When you've had a disastrous injury led in 2016, it's important that you kick off 2017 to get that momentum going.
Yeah, I suppose anyone else would be quite upbeat, buzzing about it. But I just kind of, as you say, tried to play it down a little bit. And, you know, I just I hope and expect bigger and better things for myself. And I know that's pretty good, what I've done so far. But I want to be jumping further.
It's a process.
You're
seeing it as a process. That was part of what you're supposed to be doing anyway.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
No, that's cool, man. That's cool. How does the season break down in triple jump? Because with all due respect, look outside, man. Doris is knocking living daylights out of Liverpool today.
Yeah.
So is there an indoor season? Is there an outdoor season? Does it still work as traditional athletics? How does it all work?
Yeah, we have an indoor and an outdoor season. So you train all winter till about January, and then you'll compete January to March, basically.
Okay.
Sometimes I've had a short indoor season because there wasn't many competitions for triple jump, unfortunately. So I've finished now, basically back into solid training until about start of May, and then start tailing off and start competing again right up until start of September time, really.
Is the spring in the track, indoor and outdoor, different? Do you know what I mean by that? Like, some people, when I speak to athletes that run, they say it's a lot easier to run outdoors because of the spring that is in the track. They have what I'm trying to say is that they have quicker times outdoors than they have indoors.
Yeah, it's different. Every track is different. Like, some tracks are really hard because they're like just put on concrete, and then others are like springy. So it doesn't really matter whether they're indoors and out. For the long jumpers,
so you don't notice that you jump longer outdoors than you do indoors. It's relatively
so. For jumpers, it's indoors is quite nice because you don't have to worry about wind or, you know, rain or anything like that, because that can all interfere with your run up.
Yeah.
So indoors, you just go, you know, your run up's going to be right, and then there you go, you can just jump. Whereas outdoors, you've got to be a bit more like on your game a bit. You know, if it's a bit windy, take a foot back so you can hit the board, so you don't do a no jump.
You got to think about it.
You got to actually think about it. Yeah, gotta put that brain into gear.
Absolutely. What's the process then? 2017. What's the next competition? And I know because I've read what you want to do.
Yeah.
So let everybody know what the plan is for you and your career with this now.
Yeah. This year, I'm basically chasing down a Commonwealth Games standard. So I've got to get that by the 1st of October. So all my competitions leading up to that are basically chasing that standard. Obviously, you've got your British champs and your Northern Athletics champs, British champs, and England champs. So they're all titles that I want to
win,
yeah, pretty much this year, and then hopefully get a standard to go with it.
So when you've got to hit a certain standard in order to then what, go to the qualification situation?
No, literally.
That's in?
Yeah, just because it's a bit of a weird one because the Commonwealth Games is in Australia. They're doing it in April. So obviously that's not normally a time we would be competing. So what we're going to do is if we get the standard, then try and extend the indoor season so it's kind of longer, like a summer season. So normally you would have a qualification competition, but because it's so early doors next year, they're just like, right, you've got to get the standard and then you've just got to show that you're in some sort of form.
What a platform to go to the Commonwealth Games, eh?
Yeah, it'd be pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Would
you smile
yeah.
at that? Yeah. Brilliant. That would be wonderful, yeah. Because I think that's an amazing achievement to get to the Commonwealth Games. I speak to a lot of athletes that have done that. For example, there's a boxing family in Liverpool called the Smith family, young Stephen Smith. I say young, he's not young anymore. No offence, Stephen, but he's over 30. He won Commonwealth gold in Australia. Absolutely sensational watching that. Yeah. That would be the dream, wouldn't it? Picking up a gold medal down in Australia at the Commonwealth
dream,
Games.
Absolute dream, yeah. Once you get to the Commonwealth Games, the standard's, pretty decent and... It'll be quite.
They're all right at the Commonwealth Games, aren't they? They're pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. But if you get there, you've got a good chance of getting a medal. So that would be the ultimate goal, to medal at the Commonwealth Games. So.
And then, would you continue to try the Olympics? How would you work?
Yeah, especially if it gets to the Commonwealth Games, and obviously I want a medal, that'd be perfect platform for Olympics. You're kind of right on target for getting there and being top eight.
Yeah.
Top three. Top. I don't know. Who knows? You never know. You've got to dream big and just got to keep working towards that goal.
Well, that's it. And obviously, the things that you've had over 2016 with the injuries, they could get a downer on an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
You obviously haven't got that because you've got that determination, that desire in order to go and achieve and win and hopefully get yourself a medal at the Commonwealth Games. Fingers crossed with all that.
Yeah.
This doesn't all come cheap because, as we know... amateur sport has to be funded somewhere, shape or form. Your kit's not cheap, your coach ain't cheap, your training's not cheap, the facilities that you use ain't cheap. And this world kind of relies a lot on sponsors.
Definitely, yeah.
However, you are a young lady. How old are you?
26.
I shouldn't be asking girls their age, but 26 years of age. You work to fund this yourself at this moment in time.
Yeah, pretty
However,
much.
Your work is quite strenuous because this takes you out of your training. So tell me about your day-to-day life.
Yeah, I do sports massage, so that's like a full-on training
Proper.
Session.
You've got your elbows in, you've got your hands, you're giving it the big one. So you're actually exuding a lot of energy yourself on your day job and then going to training knackered in a way.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's quite full-on. Even when I've had like a full week off training and I'm still doing sports massage, I'm feeling absolutely battered, not gonna lie. So it's all about trying to balance work and balance training.
Well, ideally what would happen is that there would be a sugar daddy or a sugar mama listening to this show right now thinking, something like this kid, she's got a great attitude, we want to help her out a little bit, maybe if we can sponsor a little bit so she doesn't have to do 5 days a week or 6 days a week sports massage, she can do 4 days a week or 3 days a week. That would be an ideal situation, wouldn't it, my dear?
Yeah, definitely.
So you can concentrate on your training.
Yeah, that definitely put a smile on my face, for sure.
Well, you know what I mean? It'll put a smile on a lot of people's faces if you ended up at the Commonwealth Games and then get yourself a goal.
Yeah.
So if you're a business and you are listening and you would like to help Alex out a little bit further, how do they get in contact? Are you on social media? Are you on Twitter or anything like that?
Can they ping you
a message or anything?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Come on, give us. Is it just simple as at Alex Russell? What's the handle?
Alexandra_27X.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.